are listening to the Wayne County Community College District's Critical Conversations podcast with host Ed Clementi.
Welcome to Wayne County Community College District's Critical Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Ed Clementi, and today we're fortunate to have Ray Lozano, longtime friend, as well as many other jobs I've known him through. And he's the executive director of the Mexican Community Development Corporation. Thanks for being with us, Ray.
Ed, thank you so much for having me.
So why don't we talk a little bit about Mexican Town Community Economic Development Corporation and what is it and its purpose, that kind of stuff.
Mexican Town Community Development Corporation started out in 1989 as a child of the Southwest Detroit Business Association. And this organization, much like Detroit, has changed considerably over the years. When this organization was founded by a number of community folks, you could go down the business strips in the residential areas and people were less concerned about the city, unlike now when it's become the place to be. And so the organization was actually organized to acquire properties and to begin to do business incubation and try to develop community folks into businesses and try to get people interested in the residences, and doing its part to keep Southwest Detroit alive and populated. Fortunately, Southwest Detroit has been a destination for a lot of immigrant folks over the decades because of the automotive industry. And so it's probably the only three zip codes in Detroit that have not lost population. In fact, we gained population. But still, Detroit was pretty depressed. And so Mexican Town was trying to do programs to help keep the neighborhoods clean and to make residents productive. We can go on, but basically that was its origin.
So I'm going to give you my contribution. We were part of that immigrant population. My folks came from Italy, but they came via Ellis Island, Pennsylvania, then to Detroit for the auto industry. And we were mainly in Salve Lafayette. That was the corner house where my grandpa lived. And so we spent a lot of time in Southwest Detroit growing up and going to all the old favorite places like Chamberlain Bread and the Hungarian places. And everything was in that neighborhood. I think it's one of the most interesting parts of Detroit, actually, still to this
day. It has been, definitely. Yeah. And I remember the Italian restaurant strip that was on 4th Street, Dix Avenue. It was a destination in its own.
Well, the old people who might remember, but part of that part of Dearborn was called Salina, where it touched Detroit, right there by the Woodmere Cemetery. Sure. And the only Italian place left there is Roman Village. But it's mainly Yemeni people, I think, in the area now. It was Italian, and you probably won't remember this, but there used to be an Italian club down there called the Oakwood Blue Jackets. And my dad used to play, and my uncle used to play football for them back when there was an Italian club. Anyway, let's get back to you again. But, the area is called Mexican Town because I think they have been the largest group that stayed there the longest, and mainly because of automotive industry still, right, to this day almost.
Sure. And, this community has always amazed me. My grandfather brought us here fleeing the Mexican Revolution in 1916. And the whole family was uprooted from the interior of Mexico. And they came here to pick sugar beets in Mount Pleasant for one summer growing season. And it was pretty much where half of the family settled here and the other half wound up in Chicago, Illinois. But I'm amazed that the Latino families come from Latin America and the interior of Mexico over the years. And one of the things that they do is they stay put. They come all these distances, but rarely leave this community. And so it's not until recently that property values have kind of flip-flopped that people are leaving to go to the suburbs and other neighborhoods. But for many years, the population has grown since the first Mexican came in 1895, I believe. And so, but, it mixed very well with all the other ethnicities, the Polish, the Hungarian, the Middle Eastern. And the school I went to was actually majority Lithuanian. And so a lot of folks that fled Eastern Europe over the years as well.
Yeah, I used to have a friend that taught in Southwest Detroit. She would teach kids Romanian. So there was a big Romanian population there at one time, and I forgot what school she was at, but they needed her because she was Romanian. She could speak English and Romanian for the kids. But that wasn't sure. That, you know, that was my lifetime. So it keeps changing, just like Hamtramck did. I think Hamtramck is the other interesting place in the Metro Detroit area. So your family, I know a lot of I live in Lincoln Park, so a lot of my neighbors are from Mexico. And, but they mainly come from Jalisco, the state of Jalisco in Guadalajara. Is that still true or is that changing too?
Yeah, you know, actually, I haven't kept track of it because it does seem to have, you know, where folks leave these towns and villages and word gets out and it brings more relatives and neighbors from those areas. So it's had different iterations over the years from different places in Mexico and Latin America. Now, if you go over by Warren and McGraw near the Dearborn-Detroit border, you've got folks from Venezuela and the Dominican Republic and different places. And so those populations are growing.
Yeah. And the grocery stores, the little, you know, taquerias, everything.
Sure.
Like I said, Lincoln Park is an extension, I think, of, and I don't know about Melvindale as much, but I know Lincoln Park is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, in fact, La Sed has a satellite office now in one of the churches in Lincoln Park, and the Michigan Hispanic Chamber is doing some programming in Lincoln Park. So a lot of folks that lived in Southwest, because of property values, they can sell their home for a nice profit, and they're moving to better schools in the suburban areas.
Why don't you say what La Sed means?
Sure. Latin Americans for Social and Economic Development. I was director there for a couple of years back in the late 70s, early 80s. And so deals mainly with folks that are immigrant folks, folks that need social services, legal services, tax assistance. So they're probably the oldest Latino organization in the city.
Let's get back to the EDC a little bit, Community Development Corp. You have two buildings now you manage? Like, you're the executive director. Why don't you tell people what is in your sort of portfolio there?
Sure. You know, my boss is the board of directors for Mexican Town CDC. Back in 06 and 07, decided to construct this campus, I call it. It's two buildings and a plaza, and the idea was to make this a destination. And there was different programmings, you know, for incubation, business incubation and the like, but also for cultural programming. They used to have weekend mercados. They recognized all the religious and all the social holidays that come from Mexico and Latin America. And so it's continued over the years. And about 6 years ago, we were kind of dormant because during the downturn, you know, things just weren't happening. And this organization suffered some setbacks. And so during the downturn, 08, 09, and 10, things got pretty quiet, pretty dormant. And so they hired me to, you know, bring back the 501c3 and begin to do some programming culturally and otherwise. And so we've been pretty successful over the last few years to get us back to a level where we're functioning again. And, you know, we've created the mission statement of making our campus here, the two buildings in the plaza, the Southwest Detroit destination for arts, business, and culture.
Yeah, and just to help people out, like, one of your tenants is SOS, right?
The Secretary of State is here, sure. Yeah. And then the International Welcome Center is folks. We're less than a mile from the Ambassador Bridge. And so over the years, people have come here looking for restrooms and information. So the International Visitor Center is here as well. And a couple of nonprofits and other businesses. And last April, we reacquired our building across the street, the Mercado building, where we used to do our business incubation. And Gleaners had used that space for 10 years through an arrangement by the city. And at that time in April, we reacquired it. And so we're looking to have tenants in that building. And we have been leasing the spaces inside and, you know, the exterior spaces for concerts and events. Kresge used it for the Eminent Artist. The Mexican Independence Celebration has been going on for 3 years. We had the Irish-Mexican Fiesta back in November. And
Why is there an Irish Mexican fiesta?
Well, you know, we've got Corktown where all the Irish settled.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right next to Corktown.
Yeah, and then Mexican Town. So we've this year we had the 6th annual Irish Mexican fiesta. And, you know, and one of the things I'm proud of that we do is we all celebrate, and people kind of lose sight of the celebration of the reasons. And so during the Irish Mexican fiesta, we talk about the San Patricios, the Irish folks that couldn't get into the United States, and they went to Mexico to live when they fled Ireland. And so the Irish actually fought with Mexicans against the United States in the Irish, the U.S.-Mexico War.
Where did they live? Were they concentrated somewhere?
In around the main, the capital, the city.
Around Mexico City? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a plaque in the plaza of Mexico City that to Jim Sullivan and the San Patricios, the St. Patrick's during that time. And, you know, if we're reflecting back, but, you know, Anthony Quinn was a result of that mixture, you know, with the Irish last name. And so.
Yeah, he played so many different ethnic groups in his TV career.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
I never knew what he was. The other thing I was going to ask you about is that you yourself, you went to the Holy Redeemer High School, right?
Yes, which is Cristo Rey High School, sure.
But that was a big high school. I mean, the building is still big, but it's a beautiful church and all that.
Yeah, that was 900 students strong, and it was a Class B, Class C school.
Yeah, yeah. We used to play you in sports, I know, because we were at Catholic school, too. Cabrini. I should also mention one other cultural event that you guys did not too long ago, where you did the Tejano state plaque that's in your plaza now. Kara Clemente, she's your county commissioner now. Why don't you mention about that? Because I thought it was a pretty interesting event.
Yeah, no, thank you, Ed. There was the Solis family, who their father was part of the music scene that happened in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the Tex-Mex music. You know, as people worked in the fields and migrated from Mexico and Texas, the music became popular. That was kind of a mixture of Mexican music and Texas style music and entertainment. When they came up here, they continued playing, and they would be in the restaurants and bars, and folks would still work in the fields and work in the factories. And so it was very prolific during that time. And so the Solis family resurrected some of the recordings that their father and the band Los Primos played in the area. And there were other bands and other musicians, and found out that the state of Michigan had never recognized the Latino community in any way in its historical markers. And so the Solis family came to us, and they had been working for about 4 or 5 years to try to get this through the state historical society. And so they were very successful, and they wanted to put it here because it was close enough to where folks would play in the evenings. And the first actual historic marker that recognizing anything Latino was here in the berm in front of our mercado. And it's got the names of some of the businesses and then band members and the families that made that music possible. And they were also recognized by the Music Hall of Fame that's located, I think, in northern part of the state here. But no, thanks for mentioning that, because that's the state was
further.
Kind of embarrassed.
No. I'm going to go further, because I had this guest on because of someone I met there. You probably don't know this, but I met Eddie Gillis there.
Yeah.
And Eddie Gillis, I mean, you can tell the story who he is and what he does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Third Man Records, Jack White, Eddie, and the family, the White family, went to Holy Redeemer. They grew up in Southwest Detroit, and family members, you know, they're friends of the Solis family. And so they put a lot of money and time and effort towards getting this state marker. And so they wanted to also recognize the music genre. And they put together a vinyl record of the recordings. And so it was a great event. You know, it brought together different communities. And like I say, the state was rather embarrassed that they had never seen to recognize anything historically of the Latino community. So finally we've got one, and I know there's plans to do a couple of others in the neighborhood. So
yeah, no, keep us up to speed. What's going on there? Why don't you also, I should mention this, is I want to thank you for your service. You were a Vietnam vet too, right?
Yes. I served during the Vietnam War. I was in for a couple of years officially, and then there was also the six-year commitment that you have to do as a piece of government property. And so was there from January 68 to January 69. And was with the U.S. Army Infantry in the Central Highlands of Vietnam. So, no, thank you, Ed.
Appreciate your service. I know it's a war that the people didn't get the right recognition when they came home.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. And I know you, I guess for all your lineage, I forgot, were you born in Southwest Detroit? Were you born in Texas? Were you born up north? I don't know where you were.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of my immediate family and was born here in Detroit.
Okay.
So my sister and my brothers were born in Chicago because we had that half of the family there. But we all attended schools here locally, though.
I got to ask a question. This is only inside baseball for us, but you were not born at Booth Memorial Hospital, were you?
No, not at Booth.
I was born there. I was born in Southwest Detroit.
Yeah, there were a couple of smaller hospitals in the neighborhood. But I was actually, I want to say it was the Beaumont Origins that was a hospital on 14th Street and near West Grand Boulevard. I'm trying to recall the name of it.
Yeah, no, I know there was Southwest Detroit Hospital. That's the one where Sean Mann's trying to put in that soccer stadium. Sean Mann lives in your neighborhood too.
He does in Hubbard Farms. So
I've been to his house. He was, when I was in the legislature, he was one of my staff guys for a committee. So I've known him a long time. So on the business side, a little bit of the corporation. I mean, you've alluded to this, but why don't you talk a little bit how you keep mentioning about how the home prices have shifted from one extreme to the other. And I know the reason, but why don't you explain why the demographics have changed quite a bit in the last 4 or 5 years, maybe longer?
Sure. A couple of things. One, like I alluded to, is that, these three zip codes, 4209, 10, and 16, have been one of the few zip codes that have attracted population. You know, it's been a welcoming community with all the different ethnicities, and you know, even though the automotive industry has gone for many decades, it was the source of income for a middle income family. You know, you could do that without even going on to college, and so it's been attractive for that reason. And you know, over the last few years, as Corktown, the proximity to downtown has kind of changed demographics. People are finding this area, and houses that you couldn't sell for more than $20,000, you know, are now going for $200,000 and $300,000.
Wow.
And so, you know, people that own properties, it's been lucrative for them. For renters, it's not too cool because, you know, rents have increased threefold for renters. And so it's changing the demographics. And so people are moving into this area, and it's creeping further west as we go along. And so, and Corktown itself is out of sight in a lot of ways. And so it's really amazing how Detroit has changed. Like I said, when we were formed, we were trying to encourage people, residents, you know, to live in the area, and businesses to people to, you know, consider going into businesses and growing the businesses. And now, you know, there's plenty going around on its own. So.
Yeah. I remember I've got, for my job, I've got a shared space over at New Labs right next to the train station. And I used to always go to Honeybees quite a bit, but now Honeybees is so packed that it's a grocery store marketplace, but it's right around the corner. And everybody that works in those two buildings like walks over there to buy stuff. And
sure.
It's like, yeah, I can see the changes you're talking about. And plus all those new condos are all over the place, close to like the old Tiger Stadium and in that area. So it's really changing. I mean, you know, you have to accept change. You don't have to necessarily always embrace it.
Yeah.
But it is happening. But hopefully you'll be able to maintain, you know, keep some of that integrity of the community together. I mean, so what is the biggest cultural event of the year? This sounds obvious, but Cinco de Mayo, is that like the biggest thing that happens in Southwest Detroit, or is there other ones?
Well, I mean, you know, Cinco de Mayo, you know, the 3-mile parade that goes down West Verner and all the way down here to this area. It's got, I believe, 50 some years of existence, and, you know, tens of thousands of people line the streets and hundreds of people participate in the parade. It's a real strong economic stimulus for the neighborhoods on that day. The one downside is it's also labeled El Drinco de Mayo because it's just so just like St. Patrick's Day, you know,
yeah.
There's a lot of celebration.
The San Patricios, again, they're still coming in.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things I like to do with those kinds of celebrations is that people aren't aware that the Cinco de Mayo has some significance to the United States because it celebrates where a band of Mexicans, you know, held off the French army in the little town of Puebla, Mexico. I believe it was in 1862. And so they were successful in holding them off for a while and kind of stopped the northward trajectory of the French army. And it's theorized that if they would have continued, that their goal was to join the Confederacy. And
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
To defeat the Union. And so, you know, I like to look at that historical cultural significance more than, you know, the celebration aspect, but it is an important one. But we have many. Go ahead, Ed.
No, I was just going to say two other things that when you did the Tejano thing, I know you have a good relationship with the Mexican consul, Roberto.
Yeah.
He's pretty engaged with you, isn't he, somewhat with some of the activities?
Yeah. We've had their independence celebration here for 3 years now. In this past September 15th, they had 1,250 people here in our
wow.
plaza, and they had, you know, 5 different bands, and they do a real nice celebration, and they have a variety of groups, and, you know, Miss Mexico, and, you know, they recognize. I happened to be 3 years ago recognized. There's an award that's given.
Were you
to
Mexico. Mr. Mexico?
Not quite, but it's it's a recognition that they give to Mexican Americans for what they've done for the Mexican community in Detroit. So they recognize somebody annually with a nice award. So, you know, they really appreciate what we're doing because we offer space so that the consulate can take care of paperwork and, you know, folks that have visas, you know, American and Mexican.
Sure.
You know, they do all that official business kind of stuff in and around here. Then they travel all over, but, you know, we encourage them to do as much as they can.
They've got
here.
4 states, but I know they're based mainly here just in the Detroit area, but they also work with Ohio, Northern Ohio, and I think another
yes.
state.
Yeah.
Also, one other holiday, it's hard for me not to mention, but the Dia de Muertos. Because
yeah.
I come down, and honestly, even my mom, when we were growing up, she'd want to go through Woodmere just
yeah.
to see when people were celebrating, decorating cemeteries, headstones back then. Because
sure.
that is a very important holiday, not only religiously, but to the country itself.
Yeah. Yeah, if folks got a chance to see Coco, the movie, you know, the Disney.
Yeah, I love Coco.
You know, the thought, there's a couple of things going on. One, you know, the traditions that date back to the Aztec times, and also the belief that, you know, you have to keep your relatives, you know, your ancestors in mind, because once you lose them in memory, they cease to exist. And so, you know, it's every year. There's actually a belief that they come and visit And so, you know, it's very important. You know, it causes people not to fear death, but to celebrate it. And, you know, and we kind of stress that our Day of the Dead is not, you know, everyone's Halloween. It's a religious and a, you know, cultural, you know, experience that's very important to Latin American communities. And so the other thing that's kind of gotten popular, if you've seen, there were the spirit animals that would guide people from this world into the next world. And if you see, we've got a local artist, Elton Monroy Duran, that's created some sculptures on the other side of the expressway here. The Alebrijes are called, the spirit animals that you, if you saw the movie, you probably recognize the term and the characters. And so he's created some metal sculptures out of automotive parts. Yeah. So, you know, very proud of the fact that people are doing everything they can to keep the cultural traditions going in different ways. And so, well, yeah, Day of the Dead has been important. And, you know, a couple other things that we've got going. A good friend of mine, you know, Ishmael Ahmed, for 50 plus years has done the Concert of Colors. And a few years ago, I said to Ishmael, I said, Ishmael, if you have an extra band, you know, have him look at our way. And so 2 years ago, he did. He actually was able to get us a band. And so we have had the Concert of Colors in Mexican Town, and he's trying to create a tradition where the Concert of Colors won't mainly be just in the cultural center, but it'll go out to the neighborhoods for, you know, different ethnic groups.
Yeah, I wish I would have known. I don't think I even knew that one. Thanks.
Yeah.
You said one more thing, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, well, and so that was it. We're going to try to do the Concert of Colors in Mexican Town again to celebrate, you know, if you get a chance to talk to Ishmael Ahmed, you know, he's an incredible guy.
I used to work with him when he ran Access, and also I know he's a DJ on public radio for world music. So
yeah,
he's an interesting cat all the way around. All right. Well, anyway, I know we could have talked about 100 more things, Ray. You're the most interesting and most liked guy I know, and I appreciate
you
taking time to do this today. Once again, this was Ray Lozano, Executive Director of the Mexican Town Community Development Corporation. Thanks again, Ray. I always appreciate talking with you.
Oh, thank you and the WC3 staff for everything that you all do. That's important.
Well, trying to keep in touch with the community, so thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Wayne County Community College District's Critical Conversations podcast with host Ed Clementi. We hope you enjoyed the show. To listen to other exciting episodes, log on to the college's website at www.wccd.edu and look for the podcast button located on the homepage. The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Wayne County Community College District's Critical Conversations podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and are not reflective of this institution. The Wayne County Community College District shall not be held responsible for the misuse or reuse of this podcast series and shall not be liable for any damage resulting from the irregularity, inaccuracy, or use of information presented.